like Pentecost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be seated. You could have kept on preaching. I'd have sat back there and amen'd you. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to take that story and preach on it. So thank you. I sure will. Hallelujah. God is good.
All the time.
Hallelujah. Glad I'm serving a risen Savior. Yes. He's not dead. He's alive. And He's in control. Whether you think He is or not, He is. You didn't pray hard enough, or I didn't pray hard enough. Which one? We was joking with each other last night. We both gonna pray hard and have a blowout, so I wouldn't have to preach. Hallelujah. Let me just, with your pastor, tell you how much last night was a success. Everything around here is always done top-notch, awesome. This is one of the funnest places to come and preach because this church and something that's been put in you that you've held on to. Hallelujah. And I give honor today to Elder and Dad and Mom Johnson, I'll just say it like that, for what they did here and put in you, and thank God Pastor Jim Johnson and his wife and family are carrying that on. Hallelujah. God knows what He's doing. And it is an honor and a privilege to be here. Thank you, Pastor Johnson, for the invitation. And I'm glad to have my angels with me. All four of them. I was in Cracker Barrel one time, and an elderly gentleman was asking me about my girls. I said, the Lord blessed me with three angels. And I barely got the words out of my mouth, and he very quickly corrected me. He said, four. I said, oh, you're right. Four. And we're glad to be here today. And it wouldn't take much for this thing to blow. But I've preached here long enough. I know this church knows how to be sensitive. And I want to do today what Jesus Christ came to do. As He said in Matthew 20 and 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. It is my heartfelt desire today to do that. You won't leave here saying it's one of the greatest messages you've ever heard. I don't consider myself a great preacher. But I'm talking with some of the gentlemen of this church last night. You're probably going to hear some of the stuff that I told you. I didn't know what I was going to preach when I was talking to you. Didn't know until I got to the motel room last night. But it's something that has been in my spirit for quite some time. I'm like your pastor. All I know is God. God's in control and God's real. You can sit here today and put a facade up. You can act like you've got it all together. Many of us have learned. We have learned how to become the... You think Hollywood has actors and actresses. Pentecost has become incredible at acting. We're not supposed to come in here and let our guard down and let our brother and sister know we're in pain and we're dealing with things. We believe that lie. God's real. We need to be real. Hallelujah. Probably won't be hanging from the chandelier before we're through, but I really believe God wants to do a work in this house today. If there's ever been an hour that we've needed Jesus, we need Him today. Hallelujah. We need Him more than we've ever needed Him. Hallelujah. If you will stand with me today, turn to Luke chapter 22. Thank you for the accommodations. everything else. This is a great family. There's a lot of memories in this church. I can't get too emotional today. Look, there I go, right there, see? Some of you know our story, others don't. I'm not going through it today, but there's been a lot of Holy Ghost in our lives that's taken place in this room right here. And over the last 8 years, I've not come with a sob story today. But over the last 8 years, my story's not better. It's not any worse than yours. But over the last 8 years, our family, my personal family, extended family, has gone through a lot of things. I know there are people here today. I've been in this all of my life. But in the last five years, I've learned some things. The subject I'm going to talk about has become much more dear to my heart than ever before. Because if you don't have what I'm about to preach about today, you're in trouble.
Hallelujah.
Luke chapter 22, and beginning with verse number 31. Very familiar scripture. Scriptures, very familiar story. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." The Lord said, "Simon, Satan's after you. But I've already prayed for you. Not that your revelation, not that your holiness." And he could have put a lot of other things in that blank, but he said that your faith fell not. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you lift your hands toward heaven? Would you help me pray? God, touch every heart, touch every life. God, I pray, help me to minister. I have not come to perform. I have not come to impress. But I've come to be your vessel today. Speak through me, Lord. We love you and we appreciate you. We're careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And let the church say, amen. You may be seated. As I get into this today, let me first say that I am not a singer, so you won't get confused in a few minutes. This message may turn out a little bit different than you're used to. I'm probably going to do a little bit of singing Acapulco. And preaching all together. How's that sound? You might change your mind in a few minutes. Hallelujah. There's a song that came out a little over a year ago that the very first time I heard it got my attention. And please don't listen to the lack of melody and tune and key and all of that, but listen to the words of it. It's really my message today. I want the Holy Ghost. There are needs in this house right now. There are situations you're looking for answers. You're wondering where God is. Does God really care? Does God really understand where I am? I've come to tell you today He does. There's a whole lot of stubborn in this room. There's a whole lot of pride that won't let go. There's a whole lot of stubborn in this room. Shows no signs of giving up control. I've drawn all the curtains, turned out the lights. Scared to death somebody else might see. There's a whole lot of stubborn in this room. And there's no one here but me. There's a whole lot of demons in this room. They want it all and they don't want to share. There's a whole lot of demons in this room. And none of them believe in fighting fair. Some sit on my left, some on my right. They talk so loud it's hard to disagree. I'm surrounded by the demons in this room. And yet there's no one here but me. Anybody want to look in the mirror today and admit any of that? No, because we're not supposed to. There is a whole lot of stubbornness in this room today. There's pride. And the devil's here today. Because the devil doesn't want you getting your victory. He doesn't want you getting your strength and your help. You can be a member of this church or maybe you're a guest here today. I'm talking to you. There's hope. Stubbornness is nothing more than being unreasonably obstinate, fixed or set in purpose or opinion, resolute. Difficult to manage or suppress, hard, tough, or stiff as stone or wood, such as difficult to shape or work. Some of the synonyms of stubborn is adamant, bullheaded. Anybody ever been called bullheaded? I have. Cantankerous, determined, headstrong, insubordinate, mulish, opinionated, rebellious, self-willed, set in one's ways. The Bible term is stiff-necked. Pride? It's a high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity. Importance, merit, or superiority. Whether it's cherished in the mind or is displayed in varying conduct. There's a lot of synonyms for pride, but the ones that caught my attention all started with the word self. Self-admiration. Self-confidence. Self-love. Self-sufficiency. And self-trust. The story that I read today to you, a very familiar story, we see both of these traits actively working in Peter's life. That particular rendering was there as they were in the upper room in the most important hours up to that point in their life, and yet they were not ready, they were not prepared. And so they find themselves on a journey with the Lord to His place of prayer, the Garden of Gethsemane. And He tells them, hey, why don't you pray with me? I feel the load. I feel the weight. And He takes Peter, James, and John aside. And He said, listen, can you pray just 1 hour with me? And He cometh and He findeth them sleeping. And He saith unto Peter, notice who He addresses. Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? This is the man that said, I'm going to go all the way with you, Lord. I got it. I got it under control. I know who you are. I've been living this way a long time. You handpicked me. I got it. Hallelujah. And it's at this point that we really begin to see the devil do what Jesus said when He said, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Grain was agitated or shaken in a kind of fan or sieve. The grain remained in the fan and the chaff and dust were thrown off. And this is what Satan desired to do or tried to do to Peter, to place him in trials and temptations, to agitate him and to see whether anything of his faith would remain. Or whether all that would be found was chaff. In each and every one of us here today, there are many defects that sometimes cannot be removed except by experiences in life. In this particular reading of our text, we have three parties before us. Three parties to a crisis. The sinner, the sinner's friend, and the sinner's foe. And there was a real battle raging behind the scenes. But as I read in our text, the Lord looked at Peter that day, knowing better than anybody else, He said, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Hallelujah. And yet, No longer had he got those words out of his mouth that we see stubbornness and pride rise up as Peter said, Lord, I hear you, but I'm ready to go with you to prison and even to death. And the two attributes that I'm preaching about right now are in this room. They're powerful. They're real. Holy Ghost or not, they're real. They're in our lives. And from here on, what we begin to see is a very proud and stubborn man begin to fall apart. Because as the Lord prayed, the flesh praying to the Spirit, not my will, but thine be done. And he approaches them that third time and he said, sleep on. Sleep on. And you can imagine or try to imagine as they woke out of sleep and here they are stumbling around in the dark and men are coming with torches and they're not putting things together. They just woke up. We've been there before. But through the haze and through the night, Brother Johnson, they see Judas, one of their own. And he walks up to the Master and he kisses him on the cheek. And the Lord, to the very end, reaches out to Judas. He calls him a friend. Hey, what are you doing here? Trying to shake Judas. Trying to wake him up. Trying to reach out in mercy and love one more time. Peter's watching all of this. And that indignation is rising up in him. And he takes out his sword and he cuts off a man's ear. He's trying now to defend what he said he was going to do. And they take the Master. We know the story well. The Bible says Peter follows afar off. He's standing around as they begin to question Jesus of his doctrine. He said, why don't you ask them? They strike the Lord on the face and these two men, never, Peter being one of them, never tries to fight back. Where's your fight now, Peter? It's getting too hot in the kitchen. Everything, I believe, as the wheels begin to turn and we remember the message that I got to go to Calvary and I got to go to Jerusalem and now it's all falling together and Peter's really wondering, whose side am I going to be on? His faith is beginning to fall apart and his world is being rocked. Maybe that's not you here today, but there are some here today. If nothing else, just listen to me preach to myself. We are living in a day and hour when we come to church as Pentecostals. And just people in general, the world. And they don't want to let anybody know they're going through anything. And they don't want anybody to know, I can handle this. I'm a man. I'm a woman. No, you need God. And if you ever needed faith, you need it in the day and hour that we're living in. Peter, I know you have a revelation of who I am. You said thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But that's not doing you any good right now. Because now you're beginning to wonder, is this even real? What's going on? They strike the Lord on the face and Peter just stands there. And he then proceeds to deny him. Curse him to his face. All the while being sifted by the devil. And when he cursed him to his face, the Bible says the Lord turned and he looked upon Peter. I don't believe it was a look of scorn. I don't believe it was a look of I told you so. But it was a look of mercy. And it was at that instant that Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And the song goes on to say, I can't quite remember how to pray anymore. I can't quite remember what to say anymore. Anybody ever been there? If it turns out that I can't have my way anymore, how will I know which way to turn when I walk out the door? And if I can say it this way, I believe heaven and hell stopped as Peter turned. Was he going to take the same road that Judas took? Was he going to give up on life and say, what's the use? I can't handle this. The Bible says he ran out and he wept bitterly. There was still something in the heartbeat of Peter. He knew. He didn't understand. He didn't have any answers. But he did remember before some messages. On faith and trusting God. And he reached down in his darkest hour, at his darkest moment. Hallelujah. Makes me want to say it like this. That's it, Peter. Don't give up like Saul. Don't give up like Judas. Just dig down deep and grab hold of a mustard seed of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The part of the song that I want to focus on is the last verse. There's a molecule of faith in this room. It's what they call a mustard seed Oh, there's a molecule of faith in this room. And a book that says, that's all I'll ever need. I don't know where it is, whoo, but I hope I find it soon. 'Cause nothing else will ever set me free. There's a molecule of faith in this room. And even though it's much too small to see, if I have the courage to believe, I'll find the one who left it here for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a molecule of faith right now in this room. Huh. I said there's a molecule of faith right now in this room. Maybe this is preventative maintenance for you, but maybe you're walking through the darkest hour of your life. There's a molecule of faith in this room. Woo! It's what they call a mustard seed. Oh, there's a molecule of faith in this room. And a book that says, that's all you'll ever need. Preacher, I don't know where it is. But I hope you find it soon. 'Cause nothing else can ever set you free. There's a molecule of faith in this room. And even though Jesus said all you need is faith, is of a grain of mustard seed. Why in the world do you think hell is working on the faith of individuals right now? Because if he gets your faith, he's got you. Hey, he's not afraid in the sense of you quoting Deuteronomy 6 and 4. He too believes in one God. Hallelujah. And he knows like nobody else knows what it takes to be saved. But it's still Acts 2:38. Why do you think there's a world full of false doctrine? He knows you're going to have to live holy and be holy. But you hear this young man today, and I can say this from experience, when you're laying flat on your back and it seems like God's nowhere to be found, and your prayers are hitting the roof and they're coming back down on your face. There's a molecule of faith in this room. Woo! And you start searching for it. And you start, the tears start flowing. And it doesn't matter who's around. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. All you know is somewhere, God, you're real. And you love me. And you care about me. And you know where I am. God, I need some faith. Hallelujah. And here's this man that has been given the keys to the kingdom, that said, thou art the Christ. But now, he forsook him. He followed afar off. He denied him. Cursed him to his face. And I don't know, and neither do you. And I'd just like to think, Brother Patrick, that he got up from that prayer meeting feeling just a little bit better. And we don't have Bible for it. Brother Johnson, I like to think he went to Calvary. I know what I'd have been doing. I'd have been sobbing like a baby. But you're still at that point. This world's been rough. Everything's been shaken. And the devil's trying his best to hide in his memory all of those messages that said, I'm coming back. I'll rise again. And he's lying to him, you fool. Look what you've done. You denied knowing God. There he is. There's your Messiah. All your hopes and dreams are dashed. And maybe he's there as they watch. He watches as they take him down. They lay him in the grave. It had to be one of the worst nights that Peter ever knew in his life. Sleepless. I've done. Messed up. Maybe they're sitting around in a room in their pity party. And the door bursts open and the message comes. Go tell my disciples. It's in your Bible. And? Why? Because God knew where Peter was. And he knew what he was going through. The Bible says, as Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, they told the things to the apostles. But the words seemed to them as idle tales. And they believed them not. These are guys that, through the power of God, healed the sick. Laid hands on them, they recovered. They saw the miracles. They were a part of them. They saw 5,000 fed, let alone women and children. They saw the Lord walk on the water. They heard every message. They were there. They're kind of like us. They went in one ear and out the other. Many times. Because it was old hat. It's the same old, same old. But now, the world is rocking and reeling. And the water is filling their boat. They don't know what to do. But Peter arose and he ran to the sepulcher. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself that which was come to pass. I believe it was then, somewhere, he began to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Hallelujah. Things are still shaky. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. The only thing I know to do is just to go back to what I used to do. I was good at that. And they're out there all night long, and they don't catch a thing. Don't you think God was in that? He doesn't want us going back. He wants us going forward. And he's standing on the seashore, children. Have you any meat? No, they answered. He said, to them, cast the net on the right side, and ye shall find. And they did, and they were not even able to draw up the nets. But it was John that said, hey, Peter, that's the Lord. And the Bible says that when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he jumped out of the boat. Faith won again. He's alive. He's alive. I got to get to where he is. I almost lost all of my faith. Don't tell me it didn't cross his mind just a few days before, standing there. As he told the Lord, I'm going to be there. And the guilt and the shame of him running and following afar off. But now he found that molecule of faith in his room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me preach to us just a few minutes. The molecule of faith. That's all it takes. A molecule is the smallest physical unit of an element or compound. Any very small particle, a bit, a fragment, a mite, an ounce, a particle, a ray, a speck, just a little. And yet Paul said, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, every man, a woman, boy, and girl in this house today, whether you're a member of this church or not, God has given you a measure of faith. And the devil will do his dead level best. And life has a way of stealing that faith. But I've come to tell you today, wherever you are and whatever you're going through, there's a molecule of faith in this room right now. Hallelujah. That's all it takes. God, I don't have much. That's fine. Just grab a hold of that molecule, that little bit, that fragment, that ray of speck, whatever it might be, grab hold of it. Hallelujah. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things. I can't see it, preacher. I can't see it, Sister Johnson. All I see, all I see is doom and gloom. All I see is failure. All I see is trouble. But there's a molecule of faith in this room. Woo! It's what they call mustard seed. There's a molecule of faith in this room. And a book that says, that's all I'll ever need. Preacher, I'm going to debate you on that. Without faith. But without faith, But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God, I don't have my answer yet. I'm struggling. I'm battling. Hallelujah. Maybe it's not failure for you today. Maybe it's a sickness or a disease or a crisis or a tragedy. And I've come to tell you today, there's a molecule of faith in this room with your name on it. You just got to find it. You got to grab a hold of it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! But see, here's the battle. There's a whole lot of stubborn in this room. There's a whole lot of pride that won't let go. It's a battle. It's a real battle. Maybe it's everyday life that's gotten you down. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Ooh, I don't like that word. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaven, is through manifold temptations, that the trial of faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'll spare you the heartache. I won't try to sing this one, but here's another one that just came out. I've already preached on it. It's right here. It says, sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert. This is the part I don't like, but it's true, to get a hold of me. Why am I going through this? Why have I been living for God all these years? And I'll tell you why. There's a good chance there's something in you that God is trying to get out. And you hear me today, God, in His love, His mercy, and in His grace, is going to do whatever He's got to do to get you saved. Hallelujah. That's not easy to hear. We don't like that because we sing so easily, above all else, I must be saved. Do we mean that? We sing that song, whatever it takes for my will to break, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain. I'll just sit here in my comfort zone and go through the motions and look the part. And sometimes it takes a mountain, troubled sea, a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. This day, this ain't been a year, has it? Say, Jay Dad. A pastor there, church, my dad pastored for 4 years. Lady, 45 years of age, lived for God all of her life. Gone through more hell than I won't even talk about. Battled sickness and disease in her body, Brother Johnson, but was faithful. People laid out of church for a hurt toe, and the car broke down, and the refrigerator quit. She was there 30 minutes before church started. Well, let me just change that. Church starts at 12:30. I'm so tired of people saying, what time does church start? And church people say, 1? 12:30 is when it starts. Yeah, yes, amen now. She was faithful. Her mother was a secretary before her. She followed her. Faithful. You could count on her. Depend on her. But in 12 hours, in one day, hospital. She died. Less than 12 hours. Why?
45 years ago?
Why? Ah! I don't have the answer. Brother Chris, after the funeral, went back to the church, backed out, sinners, backslidden people. Brother Wayne, I walked by her pew. And the words of that old song was hidden under her Bible. I still trust you, Lord. That you're able to guide me through this dry, barren land. And if I don't know, she's dead. She got on faith. Satan had desired to have you. They said you. Where you been, Satan? Oh, I've been running, walking to and fro. There, hey, have you considered Job? Perfect, upright man, shoot evil. I don't want to go through what Job went through. But you got faith. In life, the things that go wrong, listen to this statement. I'm almost done. In life, the things that go wrong are often the very things that lead to other things going right. I don't want to hear that, preacher. That's the way it works. Let's go bring Eve back and give her a few choice words. And Adam, that's who the Bible blames it on. It's Adam. He knew better. God spoke to him directly. But free will and free choice still gets us in trouble today. And stubbornness and pride. God's only wanting us to find that molecule of faith in the room that has our name on it. And He wants us to reach down, although it may be painful. And the whole time we're battling doubt and unbelief, and you hear me, Pentecost is full of it today. People are backsliding today because of a lack of faith. You can find them in the world. They'll tell you it's still one God. And it's still Acts 2:38. And it's still holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And it's still giving and tithe and offering of self. It's still sacrifice. But they lost the faith in God. Hallelujah. I find in the faith chapter, if we talk about Abel, and we talk about Enoch, and we talk about Noah, talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, and Joseph, and we talk about Moses, and we talk about Rahab, and we talk about Samson, Gideon, and Jephthah, and the Barak, and the rest of them, I find a scripture that says these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And next to last verse of that chapter, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but they held on. Are there any centurions in the house today that will say, God, you don't have to come to my house to speak the word? Christ marveled. You don't find the word marvel, but just a few times, and the majority of the times you find it, it's outsiders that had faith greater than those in Israel. The Syrophoenician woman, that's great, God, you call me a dog, that don't matter. All I know is if I can just get the crumbs. Here I am, God, I'm a sinner saved by grace, but if I can just get the crumbs that fall from the master's table, I know everything is going to be all right. Hey, we shout over one God, and we shout over our doctrine, but you hear me, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if there's ever been a day or an hour. I just preached Wednesday night, one step at a time. I love to fly with the eagles, Brother Johnson, and I love to run. And thank God for every time I've been able to fly and every time I've been able to run. But they shall walk. Walk. You never find the words flying by faith. You don't find running by faith, but you find walk by faith. You put one foot in front of the other when you don't feel like it. You get up in the morning and you make your way to your prayer closet and say, God, I can't make it, take it anymore. I need an answer. I've got just a little bit of faith, but you said that's all that I need to say a yonder mountain be removed and cast into the sea. Hallelujah. The woman with the issue of blood. Oh, this is where we are in Pentecost, and I'm fixing to close. And I'm afraid this is where we are too many times, Brother Johnson. Because, you know, I don't want Pastor to know I'm struggling and I'm battling. Man, and so we stay in our comfort zone. But do you understand? Do you realize today? I know this is elementary, but Jesus didn't come knocking on her door. Hey, I understand you're sick. You got faith. I'm going to heal you. No. She left where she was. Long time. Probably at the point of death. Feeble. Weak. She made her way to where Jesus was. She said, if I can but touch, I don't need him to lay his hand on my head. I don't need some great eloquent prayer, but my faith is this. If I can but touch the hem of his garment. If I can get down there where I really belong. I'm going to have to swallow my pride. I'm going to have to get rid of my stubborn spirit. I know I'll be made whole. I prayed for you, Simon. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Would you stand? There's a molecule of faith in this room. It's what they call a mustard seed. There's a molecule of faith in this room. And a book that says, that's all I'll ever need. I don't know where it is, but I hope I find it soon. 'Cause nothing else will ever set me free. There's a molecule of faith in this room. Even though it's much too small to see, if I have the courage to believe, then I'll find the one who left it here for me. Molecule of faith. Just so small you can't even see. But we're like the one with the issue of blood. Or you start out like that. We've done all we can do. We've spent all we can have. And yet we hide in our comfort zone. Oh, if I come forward and, well, I'll go with the group. And I'll blend in. No, she pressed through the group. She didn't care what anybody thought. But you hear me today. Jesus stopped. He stopped. Just like he did when blind Bartimaeus. Her need was not the only need, Sister Johnson, that day. Blind Bartimaeus wasn't the only one that had a problem, but oh, there was something. There was faith that rose up from within that soul that said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Anybody here willing to cry out? Anybody willing to get out of their comfort zone? Say, God, I've got to have that molecule of faith. I can't take it anymore. The road has gotten too curvy and the mountains are too high. God, would you help me? Would you help me?
Would you increase my faith before I leave here today? I'm struggling with doubt. I'm struggling with unbelief. I need you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm turning it back to your pastor. But if you're not here today, if you're not struggling today, maybe you need to find somebody that is and be an encourager of their faith. If we ever needed one another, if we ever needed strength, we need it. We need our faith increased today. As they sing today, why don't you reach out? There's a molecule in this room, it's got your name on it.